If you are joining us for the first time this morning, well, since no one is here for the first time, you're catching us up on this series titled A Breeding Ground for Miracles. A Breeding Ground for Miracles. We believe in the supernatural. Amen. Because we serve a supernatural God. And when God brings his super to the natural, things happen in the life of a believer. And it is important for us as believers to really understand and grasp this concept, because it should become a norm. It should become a daily routine for you. Now this morning, I want to say this. One of the greatest miracles to happen in the life of a believer is the very presence of God in one's life. If you think about it, I say one of the greatest miracles to happen in your life is the presence of God. And I'm not talking about the passive presence of God. I'm talking about the active presence of God. We know that God is omnipresent. Omnipresent. He is everywhere. He feels everything, but he's not actively involved in everything. If you think about it, how many of you have ever questioned, if God was present, why did this happen? If God is omnipresent, why did this accident happen? Didn't God know? Couldn't he stop it? You see, we're talking about the omnipresence of God, where God is everywhere, but not actively involved everywhere. And I believe that for you and I to experience the active presence of God, it's a miracle. Because how can a great and mighty God come down into the affairs of man and choose to direct how things are done? Today, I don't know about you, but I could not hold back my tears because of the glory of God, because of his presence. I was almost becoming a fool. But that's what happens when God comes. When his presence, when heaven kisses earth. Come on now. Now, James, the brother of Jesus, once said in James 4 verse 8, draw closer to God and he will draw closer to you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What is James telling us here? James is telling us that God is waiting on us. God is waiting for you to make a move. In other words, you are not waiting on God, but God is waiting on you. He says, draw closer to God and he'll draw closer to you. God is waiting for you and I to make the move because he has already made the move. Jesus died on the cross for us. Hallelujah. And I want to say this morning, you have to be hungry for the things of the Spirit in order to experience the things of the Spirit. Many people are not hungry for the things of the Spirit. Many people are not worried when there is drought in their spiritual walk with God. But this morning, may you be that person that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. May you be that person that says, unless I touch him, I'm not going to stop. Draw nigh unto him, and he will draw nigh unto you. That is what the scriptures are telling us. So you have to be hungry for the things of the Spirit. You have to be hungry for the supernatural to happen in your life. And I've seen that those who are still young in the Lord are hungry for the supernatural. They will trust God for anything. They will see the move of God. Why? They haven't experienced a lot of failures in their walk with the Lord. And by so doing, they say, I'm just going to stretch out and see if he stretches back to me. And guess what? They become a recipient of the supernatural. So what are some of the things we need to do in order to be recipients of the supernatural? We have covered four so far. We said, number one, do not be familiar with God. Do not be familiar with God. In moments like these of worship, some people will be slain in the presence of God and they'll get deposits from heaven. Why? They are open to God. Some will not. They're like, when is this thing going to end? And I'm saying to you, do not be familiar with God. Number two, ask God for the supernatural. Ask God for a miracle and he'll do it. Number three, be persistent in your request for the supernatural. Be persistent. Be like that widow who kept on asking the judge to vindicate her until the judge vindicated her. Number four, be willing to serve the Lord at all times. That is what we covered last week. Now, this morning, allow me to deposit two more insights in this regard. So let's continue where we left off last week. To help those of you who were not here last week, we read from the book of Luke chapter 5, the story of Jesus when he was preaching to multitudes. When he was preaching to, I don't know how many people were on the shore of this Gennesaret Lake, but Jesus needed capacity and he wanted a boat that would help him to push a little bit away from the crowd so that he could preach to them. And this is the story. Simon Peter happened to be a candidate for Jesus' request, where Jesus looked at the boat and he asked Peter, "Can I use your boat?" And Peter said, "Yes, Master, you can have my boat." Now we find here in Luke 5, verse 4, if I can have that scripture, please. The Bible says here, as he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, so after Jesus had ministered to the people, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a haul, for a catch." When I read that, I asked myself, how did Jesus know that Peter was in need? The Bible does not tell us that Peter had told Jesus already that I was working all night and I caught nothing. The Bible doesn't tell us, we're not privy to that information. But what we can see here, Jesus perceived that Peter was in need. Jesus perceived that Peter was in need. And then he declares and he says, "Launch out into the deep and let your net down for a catch." I want to say to you this morning, launch out to the deep. Launch out and do something that you've never done before. Or do what you've been doing all along, but from a different understanding, from a place of revelation. Now, last week we spoke at a great length about how serving God puts us in a position to receive the supernatural. Now, this statement was uttered just after Peter had served Jesus by sacrificing his own comfort. Remember, we said Peter was on the lake right through the night. He was tired, frustrated, angry, disappointed, not knowing where he was going to get money for his bills. But Jesus comes in the middle of his own disappointment. He said to Peter, "Can I use your boat?" I bet many of us would have said, man, I love you from afar. I love you arm's length. Right now, I'm not in the space. I don't know if you've been there where you'd call your friend like, "I'm not feeling it. I cannot come to your house." As pastors, we are used to getting calls, "Pastor, I'm not in a good space. I'm not able to serve." And understandably so. And I'm sure Jesus would have understood Peter, because Peter had worked for 8 hours for nothing. He was tired, but he agreed to serve Jesus. How many of us are prepared to serve Jesus from a place of difficulty? How many of us are prepared to continue running the race? How many of us are prepared to keep on holding on the baton until you have somebody to pass on the baton to? I think it's unfair to just drop the baton when God gave you a baton. In a relay, you do your first 100 meter if it is a 4x100. You don't drop it because the guy is not there. You run until you catch up with him. I'm talking about serving God in your place of discomfort. And that is what Peter did. And he made himself a candidate for the supernatural. I want to say to you, well done for those of you who have been serving the Lord. I take my hat off, because most of the times what we do in the house of God is voluntary work. The guys who work at the media desk, nobody pays them. The ushers, nobody pays them. the worship team, people are sacrificing their family time to serve the Lord. I don't encourage you to keep on doing it because God is the best boss ever you can work for. Glory be to God. And well done for serving God even when it's uncomfortable for you. Now this morning, I want to just give you a couple of pointers that will enable you not to lose your reward. Not to miss out on what God has in store for you. Let's not be those people who keep on sowing and sowing are not able to reap. Maybe because there are certain things we haven't understood. Now, Peter had toiled all night long without getting results. Now, take note, in the same area where Peter had been fishing the whole night, Jesus stands and he says, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." Wait a moment, Jesus. I was on these waters for the past 8 hours. I was on these waters for the past, 9 years. I've been asking out this girl for the past 2 years, but she hasn't said yes. And you're saying I must go back again? Come on now. I've been writing this exam for the past 3 years, but I haven't passed. You want me to write again? Wait a moment, Jesus. Now, Peter, I think he started thinking, what makes this man, and what makes him so sure that if I lower my net now, this time around, I'll catch something? I'm sure Peter was looking at Jesus with a blank eye like, huh? Really? Doesn't make sense. He might not have said it. Now, we are talking about the same situation, but different results. That brings me to the next principle of putting your faith to work. Number 5, for you to experience the supernatural, you need to learn how to speak life over the situation you are facing. I'm talking about declaring life over the dire circumstance. You see, your miracle is in your mouth, child of God. Your miracle is in the words that come out of your mouth. And Jesus spoke with conviction, as if he had seen the school of fish beneath the surface of the waters, as if he had x-ray vision to see that there is fish here, Peter. It's time for you to throw in your net. There was confidence and assurance in the voice of Jesus, I believe, and he commanded Peter. He did not say, "Peter, can you try? Maybe this time around, things will be different." There was a level of assurance when Jesus said to him, "Peter, lower down your net and you will catch." And that is where we miss our miracle. Jesus was not in need of a miracle, but he teaches us how to get miracles. Peter was the one who was in need of a miracle. Now, when Jesus was facing the dead body of Lazarus, in John chapter 11, I believe, he commanded him, "Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, arise." What was Jesus doing here? Using his words to create the miracle. When Jesus was talking to the disciples who were caught up in a storm, the Bible says the storm came and was shaking the boat, and Jesus was sleeping at the stern of the fish, of the ship, and he was called up. The Bible says Jesus spoke to the wind and he says, "Wind, be still." Jesus was requested by a father in Matthew 17, thereabout when he was coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. The father had a son who was epileptic, and the disciples could not heal him. And the father came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, please help me. Help my unbelief." And the Lord Jesus says, "Oh, you people of little faith." The Bible says he rebuked the demon and commanded the demon to leave the boy. What am I talking about? I'm talking about speaking life to the situation for the supernatural to become a reality in your life. You see, there is power in our words. When they are backed by Jesus, and when they are backed by the Creator, your words are potent. Your words are powerful. That is why Christians got to be careful with the use of the tongue. Because your words are powerful. Proverbs 18:21, the Bible says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, take note. Many times we cut short what God wants to do because our words counter or are against the supernatural. Many times the Lord is about to move in our lives, but our words rob us of the moment of victory. You see, after praying, you need to ensure that your words are aligned with the prayers that you were making. You are praying and trusting God for a financial breakthrough, but the moment you rise up, you're like, man, I'm as poor as a church mouse. What are you doing? You are praying and trusting God for financial breakthrough, but you rise up and you still declare poverty over your life. That happens a lot. You see, many believers have what I call false confidence when they pray. And this false confidence tends to wane the moment they face their realities. The moment you face that boss you hate with a passion. What do you say? You see, when you're facing the reality of failure, choose to speak success over the situation. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, let me give you a couple of scriptures. God used words to create the world. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, by faith we know that the world that we see was created by words, was created by that which was not. By faith we understand that the Table Mountain was created by God speaking. By faith we know that the Big Five was created by God speaking. By faith we know that the Victoria Falls happened because God spoke. The Lord spoke and things happened. Does somebody hear me this morning? I'm talking about the concept of you speaking life to your situation. Genesis 1:3, the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. He said, let there be light. Is there darkness in your life? You're able to rise up and say, no more darkness in this bedroom, in the name of Jesus. No more darkness in this office, in the name of Jesus. Let there be light. Let there be light, and there was light. Verse 6, and God said, let there be an expanse in the middle of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth tender sprouts. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to divide between the day and the night. Wow, let there be. Our problem is that we can pray so much, but we are not confident to declare so much. We need to be able to close that divide between our prayers and what we say every single day. Everybody complains about Eskom. Oh yes, it's a problem. But don't allow that negativity to become your norm, to become your second nature. You see, after God created everything, he then created man in his own image. The Bible then says, let us create man in our own image. And in his likeness, he created them male and female. What is it? He gave them his identity. You carry the identity of God. And therefore, when you have God inside of you and you rightly use your words, the words in your mouth are as powerful in the mouth as in the mouth of God. Why? Because you carry God. You have the identity of Jesus Christ in your life. Our problem is we are not living aright. We are not aligned with Jesus. As a result, our words are not as potent as they should be. When you talk about authority, authority is delegated authority. You acknowledge where authority is coming from. You must have a right relationship with the giver of the authority for you to rightly use that authority. Come on now. A lot of us Aluanis are not in the right standing with the one who is able to change circumstances. And as a result, they lose the ability to see the same results. So each time God spoke, there was a response and a movement. Now, child of God, when you are aligned with Jesus, when you release your faith through the words, you should be able to see results. And Jesus demonstrates it all the time. Peter, lower down your net for a catch. Peter, lower down your net for a catch. And fathers and mothers, we need to be able to speak that into our children's lives. And when you do that, you're drawing that treasure that is inside of them. Look at Mark 11:23. After Jesus had cursed a fig tree, he went to the fig tree. There was no fruit. There was no figs on the tree. And Jesus cursed this thing. And says, from today on, nobody will be able to eat from you. And the fig tree wilted from the top to the bottom. Now, verse 23. After Peter had asked, Master, Master, look, the tree that you cursed yesterday has dried up. And now Jesus then says, for truly I say to you, that whoever shall say to this mountain, I've got so many mountains, but I'm afraid to speak to my mountains. Isn't that the case? What if nothing happens? Well, what if something happens? We are always more prepared to receive the negative than the positive in our lives. May the Lord help us to be more prepared to receive good news than bad news. What if something happens? For truly I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he said shall occur. He shall have whatever he said. You know, sometimes we try and decode the scripture, but let's be like babies and read the word as it is. It says here, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he said shall occur. He shall have whatever he said. If you and I can believe to that level, a lot of things will change around us. Does somebody hear me this morning? I'm talking about a breeding ground for the supernatural. Now, when Jesus commanded Peter to lower his net, this is now my imagination. I believe that at that very moment, nature listened and aligned itself with what Jesus was saying. Nature heard the master speaking. He said, this boy must cast his net. We better run there where he's about to cast his net. Nature has got ears, people. Nature has got ears to hear. And I want to say to you today, when you speak from a place of faith, nature will respond. So I believe at that time when Jesus said to Peter, lower your net because there is fish down here. Wherever fish was locked, fish had to run to that location. The fish that had been stubborn and stuck at the bottom of the lake had to pop up in response to the word of Jesus. You need to hem in your tongue, saints. You need to control your tongue. You need to discipline what comes out of your mouth in order to create the right environment. The Bible calls the tongue an unruly member of the body. Very stubborn, very difficult to control. That is why the Bible says your maturity is actually seen by the words that come out of your mouth. So put this down. Your level of maturity is measured by the words of your mouth. Babies blabber stuff. Babies say things. They don't understand the implications of what they're saying. And here I want you to understand, when I hear you, I can clearly see how mature you are by the type of words that come out of your mouth. So we see Jesus teaching us a powerful principle of using our words to create an environment where the supernatural can happen. Now, after Jesus had commanded Peter to lower his net, We see yet another principle. So the first principle here, we've got to speak to the situation. That is why Jesus would always say, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus, can't you see I'm blind? I want to see him. No, he's saying, I want you to declare what you want. I want you to frame this moment by your words. And the blind man will say, Master, I want to see. And then he'll say, see. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you. And I want to say this morning, saints, let's tame this thing, this animal called the tongue. Let's speak life into the new season coming. Let's speak life into those situations that are difficult right now. You will see God at work in your life. Let's go to Luke 5, verse 5. So here's Peter. He had the master telling him, lower your net for a catch. And then Peter said, hey, wait, how shall I address this man? He surely doesn't understand what I've been through. And then the Bible says, and answering, Simon said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. In other words, Master, what you're telling me to do is contrary to the realities I've experienced the whole night. Have you been there? Yet, thank God for that word, yet. Because if Peter had just stopped by that first statement, he would have been disqualified to receive a miracle. But Peter says, yet, at your word, I will let down the net. Yet, at your word, I will let down the net. And doing this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net was being torn. Yet, at your word. I need to picture that. Yet, at your word. I'm going back to church. I had drawn a line. I'm not going back to church for the coming season. Disappointed, betrayed. But I'm sensing the Lord saying, go back to church. Go back to my house. Well, Lord, you know what the church did to me? Not how we talk. But the Lord is saying, go back. Yet at your word, I will let down the net. Now we see Peter in a state of shock due to the words and the command that the master had given. Because the command was divorced from the reality of the past 8 hours. Peter first acknowledged his condition, but immediately he made a shift when he said, yet at your word. Yet at your word. You see, this was an attitude of obedience, yeah? And I think it's quite easy to see that Peter was submitting himself to the authority of the word of Jesus. But it was not just obedience that caught my attention this time around. There was something else going on here. It was a deep sense of trust in Jesus. Not just obedience. Many people obey, but they don't trust. You've been giving, but you don't trust that God can actually make a way for you. It was not just obedience that changed things here for Peter. It was his trust in this stranger, this rabbi, that he did not know that well. The Bible does not tell us that before then, Peter and Jesus had interactions to the extent that Peter trusted what Jesus was about to say. So what is the sixth point? You need to trust God's nature and God's ability. The moment you trust God, you stop striving for results. The reason why we strive and we try everything out of our power, look here, I'm not saying don't give an effort, but I'm saying there's a point in time in your life where you say, Lord, I've done everything in my power. I've done absolutely everything. Now, this is how I live my life. I pray as if everything depends on God, but I also work as if everything depends on me. Does that make sense? When it comes to prayer, I will pray as if everything depends on heaven. But when it comes to working, I will graft. I'll bend the midnight oil. I will do what I have to do. And then put those two together. Nobody can stop you. Nobody can stand in your way. Why? You do what you need to do, and heaven does what it needs to do. Glory be to God. Many times Christians are out of balance. We pray so much and we work so little. And you wonder why there's no promotion. Look, you get to work at 8:30 every morning. And everybody else is there at 7:30. Huh? And you're like, Lord, promotion does not come from the east, nor from the west. It comes from you, Lord. I claim it, I frame it, I own it. It won't work. If you don't work, and if you don't do what you need to do in your environment, God is a God of principles. Do everything in your power and say, Lord, I've done what a man can do. Grant me favor before these people. And you will see what the Lord will do. Hallelujah. Does somebody hear me this morning? Now, so your miracle is tied up in your ability to trust Jesus. Period. Do you trust him enough to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to go out and look for a job. Lord, go before me. Open the doors for me. Grant me favor. You are not lying on your bed and speaking in tongues and hoping that somebody will bring a job in your inbox. Doesn't work like that. Or maybe not in this church. Maybe in another church down the road. But the way that I know God says, as a man soweth, so shall he reap. Now, Peter heard what Jesus was saying, and he considered Jesus to be trustworthy. He considered Jesus to be dependable. He considered Jesus to be faithful, and by so doing, he lowered his net. Put this down. Trust is an assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. That is what trust is. Do you trust Jesus to that level? Do you rely on his character? Do you rely on his ability? Do you rely on the strength of Jesus? When Peter said, yet at your word I will let down the net, he was saying, even though it does not make sense, I choose to trust you. Because your name is Jesus. Because your name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I choose to put my trust in you. Somebody this morning needs to put his trust in Jesus. Does somebody hear me today? In other words, when you trust Jesus, there are certain things that start happening inside of, in your psychic. Now, don't confuse trust with faith. Now, trust is not faith. Why? Because faith is a gift that is given by God. Faith comes by, okay? You receive it, it comes from somewhere. But trust is a consequence of that faith. Trust is what determines what you do because of your faith in God. Trust is what we do because we believe in him. Because I believe in him, though my alarm is off, it's not working for a week. Where my alarm is working, by the way, I'm just saying. At home, if your alarm is not working for a week because morning internet hasn't come, you sleep like a baby, okay? Because you trust God. You don't trust in the alarm system. Because even if the alarm is there, they'll still come hit you, right? Come on, you know what I'm talking about? But because of your trust in God, you don't lose your sleep. Now, that is why trust attracts the supernatural. That is why trust attracts the supernatural. Trust is summed up in the following scripture. Proverbs 3 verse 5. I'm sure those of you who've been around the block, you knew we're going there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust the Lord, saints, with all your heart. January is coming. School fees is needed. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Does somebody hear me this morning? Trust in the Lord. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. You are still when you are confident in the one who is around you. Glory be to God. Now, it was in that moment of trusting Jesus that Peter became a recipient of a miracle. You see, Peter had not known Jesus for a long time, and yet he risked it. And this morning, maybe you've been in the Lord for a few years. You can trust God. You can trust God. Now, several things happen when there is trust between people. The trust that is there between me and my wife makes me feel safe when she travels for business. I trust you. It's been 16 years. I trust you. How much more the King of Glory? What should that do to us? So, a couple of things happen when there is trust between people. Number one, when you trust each other, please give me that slide, you share your deepest issues with each other. How often are you vulnerable with the Lord Jesus? When you trust Jesus, you are vulnerable with Him. There's no need to put your best foot forward in prayer, saints. No. There's no need to put your best foot forward when you're talking to the Master. Tell Him, I'm broken. I need you. Right now, there's no faith in my heart. Help my unbelief. Jumpstart this thing of me. Glory be to God. That is what happens when there's trust. You know He's not going to reject you. The Bible says, whoever comes to me, I will not reject. Number two, you wait patiently if they said, wait. You believe in God for the supernatural. There's been a year. There's been 2 years, 5 years. But you trust Him. What do? You wait on Him. I say again, wait. Wait on the Lord. I say, wait on the Lord. When He does it, He will receive all the glory. When He does it, He'll restore the years. Does somebody hear me this morning? I don't know why you're not saying amen, but it is for you. It is for you to know what to do in the season of waiting. In the season where heaven seems to be silent. In a season where your prayers seem to be bouncing back to you. What do you do? Be still and know that He is God. I'll say this just to encourage you. I was praying for a business for probably 12 years. I said, Lord, I trust You for an opening. But I kept on working faithfully for bosses, for Laban. They call him Laban. I kept on working and working and working until the Lord opened a door in 2020, just before COVID. And I can tell you, in the past 30 months, I've seen God restoring my years. I've seen God doing greater things. And I'm saying to yesterday, my pastor was at our house, and I was saying to him, I'm not going back. I am not going back, because look at what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Look at what the Lord has done. And I'm saying to you, wait on the Lord. Trust Him. He'll come through for you. It might not be in your time, but it will be in the right time. Glory be to God. Usually our time is, we don't get our timing right. But heaven always gets the timing right. And when the time comes, there is a spiritual acceleration that will take place in your life that you look back and you say, what happened to all the years I lost? What happened to all those years where I was praying and waiting on the Lord? Number three, you expect them to fulfill their promise. When there's trust, when they promise, you don't keep on questioning them. Are you really going to do it? Are you really going to do it? You see, when there's trust, you say, Lord, I thank You. I thank You that You're a way maker. I thank You that You're a healer of my body. Right now, there's pain in my body, but I thank You that by the stripes of Jesus, I am made whole. Glory be to God. I'm talking about trust. That is what made Peter a recipient of a miracle. And lastly, you are at rest and at peace in their presence. You know, when your children are around certain uncles, you are not at rest, especially if it's a girl child, right? You keep on checking. Hey, are you okay? Yeah, I'm all right, Mama. Are you okay? Why? You don't trust that uncle. Because that uncle has got a history. But another uncle, you say, I take them. When you want them to bring them back, you can bring them back. You trust them. What am I saying here? When there's trust between you and a certain person, you are at peace. You are at rest. Why are you troubled, oh my soul? Put your hope in God and trust Him that He'll come through for you. Glory be to God. Breeding ground for the supernatural. Are you able to wait on God? Herod, if you can just come in. I trust you got something today. So it's two things I'm leaving with you today. Number one, watch your tongue. Yeah, let me just say it that way. Watch your tongue. Watch what you say. Number two, trust Him. Trust Him. He is trustworthy. David says, I was once young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the son of the righteous forsaken or begging for bread. Continue praying that scripture. Say, Lord, I thank you that my children will not beg for bread. That's not your nature, Lord. Your nature is good. Lord, you are my provider. Lord, your name is El Shaddai. Lord, you're my more than enough. Right now, I don't have enough, but I know you're my more than enough. Lord, your name is Jehovah Jireh. You keep on providing. On the mountain of the Lord, you provided for Abraham. Lord, you're able to provide for me. Lord, I'm troubled of soul right now. I'm going to work and it's a war zone. It's like Ukraine versus Russia. But Lord, your name is Jehovah Shalom. You're my peace. Nothing broken, nothing missing. And I thank you that as I rise up in the morning tomorrow, your peace goes before me. Ooh, glory be to God. Lord, I am troubled of soul and I am gloomy, but your joy is my strength. You can trust Him. Wait on the Lord, I say, if you read in Psalms 37. I don't know where you're at. I would rather fail trusting Him. I would rather make mistakes but trusting Him.